Hello and welcome to another episode of Demimonde Paranormal Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Tori, from Demimonde Paranormal. And tonight's episode, we will be traveling to the far-off place, or for some of you, a place that's not too far off, too far away at least. And that is the country of Norway. In tonight's episode, we will be talking about a few infamously haunted spots in Norway, and also we will be talking about some Norse mythology as well. And a few other little quick facts I have gathered up for y'all tonight. So sit back and relax, and let's get this new episode started. I've got really great stuff for you guys in store tonight. So I hope you guys enjoy tonight's episode. And right before we begin, I want to say just one thing. I want to thank each and every one of my listeners from all around the world and all around the United States of America for tuning in to my little paranormal show each and every week. It really is a blessing, and it is an honor to be, you know, have the privilege to share my little paranormal findings and my paranormal ramblings with y'all from all around the world. So I hope you guys join me next week for a new episode. And as I mentioned before, season 3 of Demimonde Paranormal is coming to a close. Just after next week, we will turn into a new season. So that means that after next week's episode, we'll take a brief break, and then we'll be back. How long the break will be will probably be about a week, maybe two at the most, and then we'll be back with some fresh, original content for all our listeners. So with that being said, let's get started into tonight's episode, Haunted Norway Edition. So before we get started in tonight's episode, I thought, as I have been doing for the last few episodes, I thought it'd be nice to either start the episode with a nice spooky little poem or end the episode with a spooky little poem. But tonight, I think I'm going to do it at the beginning of the episode. And this is a poem by a very famous author and poet. You may know him as Edgar Allan Poe. And this is The Haunted Palace. Now, before I begin to read the poem to all of y'all, well, what is your favorite poem or short story or whatever you want to call it by Edgar Allan Poe? You let me know down in the comments. So, let's begin. The Haunted Palace by Edgar Allan Poe. In the greenest of our valleys, by good angels tenanted, once a fair and stately palace, radiant palace, reared its head in the monarch thought's dominion. It stood there, never seraph spared opinion over fabric half so fair. Banners yellow, glorious, golden, on its roof did float and flow. This, all this, was in the olden time, long ago. In every gentle air that dallied, in that sweet day, along the ramparts plumed and pallid, winged odor went away. Wanderers, wanderers in that happy valley, through two luminous windows saw spirits moving musically to a flute, to a lute's well-tuned law. Round about a throne where sitting Porphyrogene, in state his glory well befitting, the ruler of the realm was seen. With pearl and ruby glowing, was the fair palace door, through which came flowing, 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 and sparkling evermore, a troop with echoes, whose sweet duty was but to sing, and voices surpassing beauty, the wit and wisdom of their king. But evil things in robes of sorrow assailed the monarch's high estate. Ah, let us mourn, for never morrow shall dawn upon him desolate, and bound about his home the glory that blushed and bloomed is but a dim-membered story of the old time entombed. And travelers now within that valley, through the red-litten windows, vast forms move fantastically to a discordant melody, while like a ghastly rapid river through the pale door, a hideous throng rush out forever and laugh, but smile no more. So, wasn't that the poem? I just love that one. But I've always honestly got to say that my favorite Edgar Allan Poe poem would probably be The Fall. Oh, I don't even know, to be honest. But you guys let me know what your favorite poem is. And then when I think of what mine is, I'll tell you guys, because I'm just, like, at a loss. I don't know. There's a lot of great ones. There really is. It's hard to say which one is your absolute favorite. So, anyway, as I said before we actually started tonight's episode, I was going to tell you guys about not only haunted spots in Norway, but also some mythology as well. And here I got a few creatures and goddesses and gods, actually. Actually, there's more just goddesses or gods, mainly, that I have written here, than there is creatures. It's mostly gods and goddesses. Not only there's only one goddess, but anyway, we're gonna get into it, and a few of these deities that I have written down here are some of the ones you may have heard of before. This includes the Valkyrie. We're going to be talking about Hela, the goddess of the underworld. We're also going to be talking about Fenrir, the son of Loki. And also, Hela was the daughter of Loki. And we're also going to be talking about Sleipnir, who was also the child of Loki. So, a lot of kids that were fathered or mothered by Loki, we're going to be talking about tonight. So let me just begin. Who should I start with? You know what, y'all? I'm thinking that I'm gonna start you guys off with telling you guys about the Valkyrie. Now, this is really fascinating, y'all. So, the Valkyrie. Now, the Valkyrie's name actually, well, it translates to the chooser of the slain. And what they were was they were a group of maidens who served the god Odin. And they were sent to the battlefields to pick and choose who of the fallen or the slain warriors were to ascend into Valhalla. Now, these foreboders wore helmets, and they wore shields, and they rode into war on horses. But in some cases, they would also fly through the air, or they would go through the sea. Now, some Valkyrie had the power to cause the death of a warrior to whom that they did not favor, but other Valkyrie, such as the heroic Valkyrie or the heroine Valkyrie, were able to protect the ships and lives of those dear to them. Old Norse literature made references to purely supernatural Valkyrie, and they also made references to human Valkyrie who possess certain supernatural abilities. Both types of Valkyrie were associated with brightness, fairness, gold, and bloodshed. The goddess Freya received half of the slain warriors in her realm of the Folkvagnr, which has been interpreted as the field of the dead. Now, Freya has been theorized to be connected with the Valkyrie. She receives half the heroes that were slain on the battlefield, and her house was a dwelling that fills the same function as Valhalla would. Now, Valkyries have been the subject of many poems, stories, works, and artwork, musical works as well. There has been theories that the origin and the development came from Germanic paganism into later Norse mythology. That's according to Rudolf Simek. The Valkyrie were probably viewed as demonic, or they were demons of the dead to whom slain warriors on the battlefield belonged. With a shift of interpretation, the concept of Valhalla changed from a battlefield to a warrior's paradise. And this is also according to Sumet. With a shift of interpretation of Valkyrie as well, the Valkyrie had become popular figures in heroic poetry. And as of that, they were stripped from their devilish or their demonic characteristics, and they became more human. And apparently, they had the ability to fall in love with humans as well. That's according to Rudolf Simek. And if you guys hear some rustling in the background, it's probably just my cat Storm messing with my notes and trying to get me to mess up. I don't know, maybe she's like the goddess Hela impersonate, I don't know, incarnate, I should say. And that's why she doesn't want me reporting the facts. I don't know if you guys can hear her meowing in the background, but honestly, she's cute, but she's a mess. I have two cats, Chloe and Storm, and usually when I'm podcasting, that's when they want to make a lot of trouble. So now, everybody, I want to tell you guys about all three, or not all three, but some of Loki's kids. And a lot of people think that, you know, because of Marvel and the whole Thor franchise, that, you know, Loki was this, you know, kind of misunderstood, rotten little trickster god with that had kind of a light side to him. But according to my research, Loki the trickster god really wasn't a great god at all. I mean, he was actually quite bad. I mean, even evil, I'd say. So maybe this podcast will probably shed some light on what actually happened in Norse mythology, because if you watch the Thor movies, it's not exactly, well, I guess it doesn't have to be, but it's not accurate. Okay. I mean, not trying to be, like, kind of whiny about that, but if we want to get technical right down to it, I'm just joking, of course. But, so, I'm going to tell you guys about four children of Loki, and pretty much none of them are good. So, I'm going to start with the goddess of the underworld. And that is the goddess Hela. Now, according to my research, because of the sparsely defined character of Hela, she is more viewed as a late literary personification of the grave than an actual goddess who was worshipped, according to some scholars. She is said to rule the underworld, and she is the daughter of Loki and her mother, who was a giantess named Ingordboda. She is the sister of the wolf Fenrir and the spirit and the serpent Jormungandr. She is represented as a rather greedy, harsh, and cruel deity, and she is indifferent to the concerns of the lives and the concerns of the living and the dead alike. She is described as, in appearance, as having, she is described as being half black and half white, with a perpetual grim and fierce expression on her face. Now, our next character on the list, or the next child of Loki, is Jormungandr. And Jormungandr is the son of Loki and also the giantess Ingerboda. And he is also the brother of Hela and Fenrir. So he is also known as the Midgard Serpent. He is a snake or a dragon that lives in the sea that surrounds Midgard, which is technically Earth, or the visible world of the humans. It's said that Odin tossed him into the water to keep him out of trouble. But the snake grew and grew. He grew so large that he was able to surround the whole of Midgard and grasp his own tail. He is the enemy of Thor, and they are fated to slay one another in Ragnarok, which is the day that the serpent will emerge from the sea and poison the ocean and the sky. Now, my next child of Loki is Sleipnir. And Sleipnir was a horse, and this was the horse of Odin, which had 8 legs. So it could have each leg in each of the Norse worlds. Loki is actually Sleipnir's mother. How is he Sleipnir's mother? Well, Loki shapeshifted into a mare and was impregnated by the stallion of a giant. And our last child of Loki's is Fenrir, the giant wolf. And this is the most famous wolf creature in all of Norse mythology. He, as well as the other two children that we mentioned before, he is the son of Loki and Ingrabota. The gods of Asgard raised Fenrir in order for him not to wreak havoc across the 9 worlds of Norse mythology. But he grew very quickly, and he soon caused much trouble. He caused so much trouble that they had to chain him up. Now keep in mind, Fenrir was a giant wolf. And in order to do this, the gods convinced Fenrir that it was only a game, and they just wanted to see just how strong he was. In which Fenrir broke every bond, and he, you know, won the game, proving how strong he was, and proving that they didn't have a chain that was strong enough to bind him. So the gods had the dwarves make a special chain that was stronger than any other chain. But this chain appeared very light, so it was pretty much deceiving, you know? So naturally, Fenrir was suspicious of this chain and asked one of the gods to place his hand in his mouth while he was being chained, as a sign of good faith. The god Tyr agreed to this, and even though Tyr knew he would lose his hand, he still agreed to doing it. When Fenrir realized that he was being tricked, he did indeed take the hand of the god Tyr. Then the gods chained him to a boulder and placed a sword into his mouth to keep his jaws wide open, so he couldn't bite anyone. But this resulted in drool forming a foaming river, and the river was named Expectation. The river may be, or it appears to be, a reference to Ragnarok, which is the end of the world in Norse mythology. Fenrir will break free from his chains and exact his revenge. Fenrir is said to be the father of both Skull and Hati. Other giant wolves that chase the sun and the moon. When Ragnarok comes, they will catch their targets and devour them. So before we send you guys off into our next segment, I want to tell you guys about the Rainbow Bridge, or Bifrost in Norse mythology. Now, the Rainbow Bridge was a bridge or rainbow that led from Earth, Midgard, to Asgard. Asgard was the home of the gods, and only gods themselves could cross the bridge, and it was guarded by the god Heimdall. Rainbow Bridge is also associated with the Milky Way. Now, Heimdall was the watchman of the gods. He was called the Shining God, the whitest skinned of all the gods. Alright, so welcome to our final segment for tonight's episode, and that is haunted spots in Norway. And our first location that I have for you guys tonight is the Cathedral of Nidarosdomen. And this cathedral is 1,000 years old. And the cathedral is in Trondheim. As I said before, the cathedral is 1,000 years old. It's beautiful. And it is home to Norway's most famous ghost. Its most bloody ghost. And that is the ghost of a monk. He is a tall man with glowing eyes, with blood flowing like a river from a cut on his throat. Although sometimes the ghost of the monk is seen with his head almost completely detached from his body. He's almost completely decapitated. He was even seen in 1924 by the bishop's wife, right in front of her, during a service. So he'll just appear out of nowhere, right in front of you. Our next location is the Dalen Hotel, and this is in Telemark, Norway. So, as we know, Dalen Hotel is a very old hotel, and it has its own very well-known story pertaining to their very famous ghost story. And this one pertains to one that originated in the 1800s. Well, it came from something that happened in the 1800s, as I should say. And this story is of an English woman by the name of Miss Greenfield. And what happened to Miss Greenfield as she arrived at the hotel all on her own, and nobody knew that Miss Greenfield was pregnant, but she did. So one day, in the room that she was staying in, room 17, one day when a maid came to clean her room, she found a baby lying lifeless on the bed, and there was no Miss Greenfield to be found. Miss Greenfield was missing. Fucking shit. Anyway, where was I? And there was no Miss Greenfield be found, but there was a dead baby laying on the bed all by itself. So eventually, Miss Greenfield was caught and she was arrested. And it is unknown if Miss Greenfield actually killed her baby or the baby had died as a stillborn or it died after it was born. But Miss Greenfield herself was caught and she was arrested and she was also executed. Now it's said that her spirit is said to haunt the corridors while the sounds of a crying baby can be heard coming from room 17. And every night there is a place at the table set for Miss Greenfield and they light a candle for her as well. But it's said that that flame of the candle is always dancing and flickering. The flame is never standing still. The Oye Union Hotel in Sunmore, Norway. This tragic love story began with a girl named Linda, who fell madly in love with one of Emperor Wilhelm's officers, who was a German duke in an unhappy marriage. The love between the officer and Linda blossomed, and whenever the duke would visit, he and Linda would stay in the blue room. Also, Linda was a servant, but by the way, when the duke was denied a divorce, he committed suicide. But sadly, not long after that, his lover disappeared near the lake. And Linda, who disappeared near the lake, she disappeared wearing a wedding dress and a crown full of flowers. Now, ever since then, people have reported seeing the ghost of Linda weeping in the blue room. Our next location is Bayram's Verk. Now, the actual village and ironworks of Bayram's Verk is widely known as one of Norway's most haunted destinations. At the restaurant of Verkhuset, there has been several reports of hauntings and paranormal activity. One of the most famous ghosts is that of the spirit of Anna Krefting, who was a woman who ran Bayram's Verk for 50 years in the 18th century. For several times now, Anna has been seen spotted on the second floor of the restaurant, usually dressed in green. The restaurant had been running since 1640. Which makes it the oldest of its kind in Norway. Also, there has been reports of a ringing telephone in the shopping district. Now, it's a telephone that rings every night at the same time, and when someone answers the phone, now this is really strange, y'all, when someone answers the phone, a strange static hissing noise and also technicians have not been able to find out what is making this strange hissing static noise at the other end of the phone. And to this day, the source has not been found out either. Our next location is Fortress. Now, this fortress has been attacked 6 times. but it was never ever conquered. It was stormed by King Charles XII in 1718 with 40,000 soldiers, but only 5 minutes after he stormed the gates, or he stormed the doors, he was hit in the eyes with a stray bullet. When Frederick Stanton's commander was killed in battle, his mistress, Denfeitdam, threw herself from the towers. Not long after word that he had been killed, longing to be reunited with her lover. Apparently, her spirit now roams the fortress, waiting for her long-lost love to return to her. You may even catch a glimpse of her in the White Tower at the stroke of midnight. The Akershus Fortress in Oslo. Now, this is an old royal fortress from the Middle Ages, and it is one of the most haunted places in Norway. The staff have reported hearing whispering in the dark corridors, and strange, unseen forces pushing them. They, the staff, and visitors have reported hearing screaming sounds and rattling of chains. There has also been reports of guards that appear standing at their posts. Then suddenly they disappear into thin air in the blink of an eye in a split second. And if you go on to venture at Akershus into the Ness Church ruins, in the church ruins, strange occurrences have been reported, so much that there is a sign that actually informs visitors of ghostly activity. According to the story surrounding the place, it was a place where a priest hung himself inside the church. Plus, a wedding couple apparently drowned in the river next to it. In addition to all this tragedy, the church itself was torn to shreds by a huge storm that left it in the condition it is in now, which is completely in ruins. Some supernatural instances that happened at the church. Some visitors experienced malfunctioning flashlights. They stopped working. People have also reported being pushed to the ground by an unseen force. Visitors have also experienced slowed down motions and movements, such as what you would experience if you were moving in water. Imagine when you're swimming. You know what your arms and legs feel like? It feels like you're moving at a slow pace. That's what it feels like you're experiencing at the church. And also, people who decide to drive up to the church or to the ruins experience malfunctionings with their car electronics. So obviously, this is not a place that you want to have a breakdown around. Thank you. Okay, so I've got a couple more locations that I'm going to tell you guys about. And our next location is a ghost town called Pyramiden. Now, Pyramiden is a ghost town that was used to be the home of Ukrainian and also Russian coal workers. Now, this was part of the Soviet Union's plan to conquer the Arctic. In this ghost town, you'll see fossilized plants on the window sills, soiled and stained mattresses, dusty sheets that were once, fresh and clean. You also see dust-caked dishes. And to this day, only six people live there. And yes, they do host tours, but all the while keeping away the polar bears from attacking them. As we know, polar bears are not the most friendly bears of all. Anyway, tourists who visit the town say that they have seen several spirits of coal miners demanding justice for their wrongful deaths. Oh no, I'm sorry, I have more than a couple, I have a few. Altogether, there's three more on my list, but our second place for the final countdown is the Utstein Monastery. Now, this is on the outskirts of Stavanger. Now, the monastery dates back all the way to 1164. This medieval monastery is said to be haunted by a woman of the name of Cecilia Whiting German, I mean Garmin, who by unknown means found herself in labor in one of the 18 rooms of the monastery. Now, she died during childbirth, but as she took her last breath, her husband went down on his knees and vowed to never, ever, ever marry again. And for 20 years, he did keep his present, his promise to his first wife. But 20 years later, on the day of his second wedding, he apparently caught a glimpse of his first wife, and then, by shock and probably by fright, he slipped into a coma. And he died just a few days later. Now, the Utstein Monastery is the final resting place for Cecilia. So, visiting there is a risk to take if you want to take a risk of dealing with Cecilia's wrath. Also, men beware. She ain't too keen on a male presence being in her home. Okay, so our last spooky little location for tonight's episode is the Luster Sanatorium, or the Hera Stolen Sanitarium. So let's begin the story of this creepy little place, shall we? Now, the disease of leprosy was first discovered by a Norwegian doctor, by Gerard Henrik Almauer Hansen, but it had been in Norway since 1266. The disease hit the coast of Norway and rocked the entire country. It was one of the hardest hit with leprosy. In the Middle Ages, hospitals were established in Oslo, Trondheim, Bergen, Tonsberg, Stavanger. And that's where all the far gone patients would go. If you had leprosy really bad, that's one of the hospitals that they would send you to. Tonight, I'll be eating fried
Deadly Palooza. What? Who's coming up?
And in 1837, leprosy broke out again, and it now came with TB, tuberculosis, or consumption. In 1896, doctors decided that it was time to build a new hospital, a bigger one. In 1902, Harris Dolan was built under the name Worcester Sanitarium, which had 96 beds. And in 1924, 96 beds became 120 beds. And in 1950, it became 150 beds. Just after World War II, the drug streptomycin was invented, and it practically eradicated TB, tuberculosis. When the drug was invented and helped eliminate TB, Harris Dolan became a psychiatric ward, because after that drug was invented, cases of TB, they went way, way down. And the usage of the hospital was not needed anymore. So after that, Harris Dolan became a psychiatric hospital. But in 1991, Harris Dolan became empty. And today, in today's age, the hospital had become somewhat of a hot spot for ghost hunters. There are several videos of the hospital on YouTube, if you can find it, of people, exploring the old hospital and investigating, paranormal claims and all that good stuff. There's also a horror movie based off of it called Vilmark 2. The building was doomed to be demolished, but new owners bought it, and they had plans of turning it into a hotel. So, with those news, now that Harris Dolan is now going to be a hotel, I believe that is just going to attract more ghost hunters. Maybe the paranormal activity will increase with all the new updoing. So that just about does it for this final segment for tonight's episode, and I will see you guys in the outro. Alright y'all, I want to thank you guys so much for joining me on tonight's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as I enjoyed doing the research and gathering the facts and representing and reporting it all to you guys. As always, I hope to see you guys for an all new episode of Demimonde Paranormal Podcast. We upload a new episode each and every Friday all new content, all new topics, everything paranormal. So I hope to see you there. And as usual, I want to thank all of my listeners from all around the United States and also from all around the world. I mean, we've got listeners from Peru to Japan to Ohio in the U.S. to France to Italy. I mean, we've reached pretty far from where I'm from recording this from. So it really is really something really humbling and really honorary for me. So I thank you guys for tuning in each week to listen to me ramble about paranormal stuff. So with that being said, I wish you guys a good night, make good choices, and I hope to see you guys next week. Be kind to one another, stay safe, and as always, stay spooky.